And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Macklin Celebrini and Cutter Gauthier are the talk of the town. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice Week 5 Mailbag Edition. Nick Alberga, Jake Hahn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meaney. What's going on, Jake?
The kids are all right, as they like to say, Nick. And you can throw Connor Bedard in there as well. Another couple points on Wednesday night. So happy Thursday to you and all the listeners out there. The mailbag is full as well. I've been going through some of the questions. We got some real good ones out there. So the listeners are putting in some work. We'll do our best to give some good answers today.
In general, we have a real fun podcast for you guys today. We got sell high candidates. We got hold or fold. We haven't played this game in like 3 years, so we're bringing it back today here on the podcast. But undoubtedly, you're so right. So many questions about Cutter Gauthier, who's on a different planet right now, and it fits perfectly with our theme of sell high candidates. Jake, 7-game point streak, 7 goals, 6 assists, 13 points. He's got, 16 points now in 12 games to start this season. What do you do with Cutter Gauthier is the big question today.
See, I have a big problem with this because I'm watching all these games and I'm thinking this guy is a complete stud. And I'd love to get Meany's take on this and maybe just in general how you handle situations like this, because you could go and trade him for a guy that was maybe drafted in the second or third round. You know, a struggling player, maybe not living up to the standards in those rounds, and you go and you get a guy that you never thought you would get for Cutter Gauthier. But I'm watching him and I'm thinking, Meany, this looks pretty legit what he's doing, and we like this Ducks team and they feel like a deep attack. He's a focal point of the offense, focal point of the power play. So I'd have a tough time selling high on him personally, but obviously everyone has their price. If someone's willing to offer me something crazy for Cutter Gauthier, I would listen, but I don't know if I'm actively shopping this guy.
We had him aggressively ranked, you know, heading into the season, so we all liked him. I don't want to speak for Pete, but certainly I liked this kid and I didn't expect this start here. I think if you have him, you make him available just to see what you can get. I would be buying, even though the price is extremely high. I'm a believer. He's got the shot volume. He checks every single box in terms of edge stats and speed. He's not afraid to rip the puck. The Ducks are fun. They're scoring goals. He's surrounded by young talent, which we talked about on the podcast. So I wouldn't trade him anywhere. And Nick, I think we have to have the conversation of where does he fit in, because he was a 16th round value on average is where he was drafted. Guys like Boldy, Robertson, Tage Thompson, Jesper Bratt, Wyatt Johnson, I don't even think you could flip those guys and get Cutter Gauthier, and all of those players were drafted within the first 3 or 4 rounds. So his value is extremely changed.
That's the difficult part right now. We got mailbag questions coming from everywhere. We had somebody on Twitter ask, do I trade Michkov or Boldy for Cutter? Like, Boldy's a fascinating name to me, Pete, where you look at the value, it just might be too much to pass up on from a Cutter Gauthier, who we selected deep in our drafts, right?
What a tough question for a Flyers fan to hear, right? That they had to trade this guy to Anaheim and he's thriving like this, and then you have to answer the question or hear the question posed, Michkov or Cutter? And I think everyone would go with Cutter at this point. Like you mentioned, Chris, one of the hardest shots in the entire league. And then couple it with the young core out in Anaheim all blossoming at the same time. I mean, this is like one of the top 5 most fun teams to watch on a nightly basis.
And it feels like they're deep, which is one thing that's really stood out to me. It's not just Gauthier. He's been leading the charge, obviously, but Kreider, who Nick was pretty high on coming into this year, a couple of other guys in that lineup. It's not all bad news for Flyers fans, though, right, Meany? Trevor Zegras and what he's doing, I don't know about you guys, but I did not see this coming whatsoever. Even if there was a little bit of a bounce back, second chance for Trevor Zegras, okay, I could maybe get behind that, but what he's doing on a night-to-night basis, Meany, are we buying this? Is this just a, you know, sugar rush going to a new team trying to prove himself, or is there something legitimate about what Zegras is doing in Philly right now?
I'm buying it. Yeah, you know, his first couple seasons in the NHL, didn't he have 20 plus goals? I mean, he showed us that he's got this talent. He can do this. A change of scenery, a new coach, get out of Anaheim. He's certainly the man on the power play. He's helped that power play. He's very flashy. He's not afraid to flip the puck behind his back, and we saw that goal the other night in Montreal. So he's very impressive. And I'm scanning through the questions here, and there's a lot on Michkov. There's no way in hell you can get Cutter Gauthier for Michkov. Like, let's be honest, Michkov is a borderline drop. He really is. I'm waiting for him to get going. But Nick, I watched him, and I know he's been compared to Demidov. I watched those two play the other night, and I hardly noticed Michkov. I'm sure he'll turn it around, but this is a player I think in 8-team, 10-team leagues, I think you can move on from, and I don't even know if I would buy low.
Fine, if you want to play my game, I'm holding on Michkov, okay? Hold or fold. We love that here at NHL Fantasy on Ice. I'm holding on Michkov. This is what he did last year, guys. If you recall, I think he proved it in the last month and a half. Although I agree. I mean, longer sample size, you've got to be consistent. And I think if it's maybe a non-keeper league, you would strongly consider right now dropping out of Michkov. But in a keeper league, you got to stay strong. New coach, you wondered about that system. But it's fair to ask those questions right now, Jay, because we're at the point in the fantasy season, I think you have to make some difficult decisions here.
You do, and I totally get it. We stress patience early in the season. Now we're getting into November. Maybe you're fantasy teams outside of a playoff spot and you're thinking, okay, I want to get something going here with Michkov. I'm still giving it a little bit longer before I'm folding, just a little bit longer because of the talent that we know from the player. We've got a bunch of listeners, Nick, that want to get in on hold and fold. I saw a question about a guy I was high on. I think a lot of us were, and I went all in fantasy, and Zeev Bolyum of the Minnesota Wild started great. I think it was, what, 5 power play points the first 4 games of the season. Ice time is way down. Are we holding or folding on Zeev Bolyum? I think I'm holding just because I still like the attachment to the power play, but his time on ice is way down, and it doesn't seem like they trust him at even strength in Minnesota.
Nothing to see here, boys, because there's nobody available on the blue line. Like, there's nobody. Like, I'll just take the young kid in Bolyum and take the ups and downs means. I don't know if you feel the same way.
I do, yeah.
Hold.
And I think if you hold, I think if you're, I mean, Jake alluded to it, right? I think he picked up a power play point in his most recent game, but it's back to back games now, 13 minutes. I believe he was bumped off that top unit for Spurgeon as well. Maybe he gets an opportunity to go back up on that top unit. Boldy's been quiet too. The Wild have not played a great brand of hockey. They've given up a lot of goals. They're inside the top 5, I think, in goals allowed and shots allowed this season per game. But Zeev Bolyum. And he's still flashy. He's got a lot of upside. You like that he's producing on the power play. But I guess, Nick, I suppose if you're in a shallow 8-team league, you can play that game with defensemen and just kind of rotate through guys that are playing 4 games for the week.
Boys, I had a lot of fun watching that Chicago-Vancouver game on Wednesday night for a variety of reasons. Had the Bedard anytime goal. That cashes in the third period, empty netter. I had the over. That randomly cashes in the third period. But I'm looking for that Frank Nazar guy, Pete. What happened to him? Pointless in 4 straight. 5 of 6. The mailbag is littered with questions about Frank Nazar. What do you do? Is he a sell high candidate still? Is he coming back to reality a bit here, Pete?
The sell high window may be closing, unfortunately, but he still has 11 points in 14 games. Chicago in general, I was looking at the high danger leaders in the entire NHL in terms of high danger goals. Toronto's number 1, Chicago's close behind in number 2, and San Jose is number 3, and then Anaheim's also up there in the top 5. So really some surprising teams to see, you know, getting in there around the net and then cashing in. So I think Nazar is a guy that will continue to deliver, at least in the goals department. I still see him finishing with 25 plus goals this season in a breakout.
Nick, if you could cash a third period over like that when it's 0-0 going to the third, you'll take that and run. You don't get those.
Good.
Yeah. You feel nice going. We'll do some on the money here coming up shortly. Yeah. Maybe you can keep those good vibes going. Meany, I got my own hold or fold for you. I brought this one to the table. I already know my answer, and I think I might know your guys' answer, but I do still want to get it out there. Gabe Landeskog in Colorado. Ice time's down, third line. Not a lot of power play time. I think at this point, even in deep leagues, I'm folding. But is there anything left on that value file for you to hold?
I don't think so. I had some shares of him, and I let him go a couple weeks ago. When I saw that he wasn't going to be on the top power play, right now he's not inside the top 6 role. Victor Olofsson is just scoring left, right, and center for that team right now. And hey, he's a guy that's shown us before in different spots that he could score on the power play. He's got a lethal shot, so he may just keep that role for a little bit. So Landeskog, you know, he sometimes provides the hits for those that are in bangers leagues, but Nick, his ice time is down, and if he's not going to play inside the top 6 or get top power play minutes, I think that's just a guy, unfortunately, that you can move on from.
And I think the issue with Landeskog is the name brand and name appeal and the affiliation to that, because that's why I drafted him. I'm like, well, it's Gabe Landeskog, but he's never really been that fantasy asset where he's like a top 50 consistent player every year. And I think I took a peek this year because I was excited Landeskog was back, but I think he's an easy drop. I mean, the bigger question right now in fantasy hockey, such a polarizing name, and admittedly, he's a guy I jump back into here in the second season in Nashville, Jake, is Steven Stamkos, man. Like, This has to be the worst stretch of his career, period, I think, dating back to his rookie campaign with the Tampa Bay Lightning. The last 10 games, one goal. He could get traded. It sounds like maybe the change of scenery trade coming, but 15 games now, two goals, one assist. I think we're approaching a territory, if not, we've already approached it where it's time to dump out on Stamkos. Hold or fold on Stamkos, Jake?
I feel like your finger was hovering over the drop button watching that game the other night. Then he scores with like 1 second left. And you're like, oh, okay, maybe he roped me back in for a couple more games. I think I'm folding, to be honest, Meany. I'm not in on this Preds team at all. I think the numbers are going to be better. I mean, what, 3 points in 15 games or whatever it is for Stamkos. It's not going to be that bad all season because he is still getting some minutes. He is still getting some power play time. There's going to be a stretch where I think he could pop and maybe he becomes a guy that we just look at in a good week. You know, Nashville has a good schedule, four games. Okay, you pick up Stammer. Like Nick said, maybe he gets moved, although it might be a tough contract to move at this point, Meany. So I think I'm folding at this point. I think I would rather play the streaming game than have Stamkos weighing down my roster at this point.
And we saw this last year with the Predators. They haven't shown us that they're going to be a different team, right? They're one of the oldest teams in the league. They have like three or four really good players on that squad. And after that, where's the offense coming from? So a little bit on Stammer, a little bit on, you know, his line mates and I guess the style of play that the Predators play. So, you know, Nick mentioned Kreider. We've all been on the Ducks here. Kreider's sitting there at 35% ownership. He's been picked up over 400, you know, ads here as of today, and his ownership is still below 40. So that's like an easy spot for me, Nick.
Boys, I want to head to Broadway next. I think you can include the whole team in hold or fold. But two guys specifically we're looking at here means Artemi Panarin, pointless in six straight games. As you know, it's a contract year. Another guy they could deal before the deadline, by the way. Doesn't sound like he's going to re-sign there with the Rangers. But 14 games, two goals, five assists, and 7 points. And might as well throw in the captain, too. JT Miller has 8 points, three goals, and 14 games. Hold or fold in general on the New York Rangers means?
I'd like to fold the entire squad. Ooh. I do have some concerns. Yeah. Right, they can't win on home ice. They're not scoring goals. The power play is awful. They're another team that has some good players inside their top six, but their bottom six I have questions about. But I'm not going to drop these guys. Like, JT Miller has got value in leagues with the hits and face-off wins, and he's still one of the better players in that format. So if you're playing in a league with those categories, you love that. As for Panarin, I mean, you can't drop him. And you can't sell them because you're not going to get anything in return. You're going to, hey, Jake, imagine this conversation like 6 weeks ago. I'm going to try to trade Panarin for Cutter Gauthier.
Yeah.
Well, sure, you can get Cutter Gauthier easily. Not anymore. You can't. So Panarin, I would wait. If I was a Panarin owner and I'm not, I would wait until this thing got better. And then I would try to sell high because I don't think it's going to be a 90-100 point season, which we've seen before in the past from him.
Well, let me spin it this way, Jake. If you had Cutter Gauthier and somebody offered you Artemi Panarin, what do you say to that?
So, yeah, and this is kind of the route I was going to go as well, because not being a Panarin owner, being somebody who was on Panarin coming into this year, I would buy low. I would buy low on Panarin. Nice. I just wouldn't do it for Cutter Gauthier. That's the only thing. I don't think I've given up Gauthier for him, but I do think that I would send some low ball offers to the Panarin owners because I don't think it's going to be this bad. They're not going to get shut out on home ice like 70% of their games all season. At some point, it's going to click offensively for them. Carolina probably wasn't the get right spot a couple games ago as well. So, yeah, Nick, I'm buying low on Panarin. I'm going to send some low ball offers out there, but no, I would not be parting ways with Cutter Gauthier for him, that's for sure.
Oh, you're that greasy fantasy owner where I wake up on a Monday morning just hating life and you're offering, I don't even know, Matt Rempe for Panarin. Rempe. Like, you're that guy, I think.
Here's some guys that we've discussed, like, yeah. Trevor Zegras. Would you flip Trevor Zegras for Panarin? I think, like,
1,000%.
I probably would do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's one I think we can. What about Schmaltz? Pete, would you trade Schmaltz right now, what he's doing in Utah? Would you trade him for Panarin?
1,000%. Even if I was just buying low on Panarin, hoping he gets traded if the Rangers fall out of it or something like that. I did want to mention the Rangers. It's been a weak point for this team for years, but it's actually become a stronger suit for them. The 5-on-5 shot attempts percentage, they're tied for eighth in the NHL. They're usually like in the 20s out of the 32 teams. So they've gotten better in that regard under Sullivan. Maybe over time it turns into a bounce back. You have to hope.
Here's my proclamation for this season. The New York Rangers will win a game at Madison Square Garden.
Okay, hot take. Bold.
Very bold.
The bold podcast? No, it's not. Pete, since we have you here, Ilya Sorokin, a lot of people have been asking me specifically the question about Sorokin, what happens, but it hasn't been a great star. Although we see that with a lot of goaltenders, they're late to the party. They usually arrive in the month of November. But for Sorokin, 3 goals or more in 8 of 9 appearances, 3.42, 3.33, 8.79. Hold or fold, Pete, on Ilya Sorokin of the Islanders?
You got to hold, I think, because of how good he is facing high-danger shots. You hope that over the course of the season, the team buckles down a little bit defensively. Right now, there's all the accolades for Schaefer, right? His 2-goal games, his offense, his all-around play. But the bottom line is the rest of that defense is kind of in shambles. Pulak, Pelech, D'Angelo. Like, these guys are just not what they used to be, unfortunately. So that's what's working against Sorokin. I don't blame Sorokin for what's going on right now. And I do think that the team will continue to hang around in Patrick Waugh's, you know, kind of put up or shut up type season. The team's going to continue to play hard for him.
Credit to Pete for being able to say Pulak and Pelech back to back. That's no easy task, Pete, and you pulled it off great there. Speaking of, we were talking to Rangers and how that feels like there's no fantasy value anymore. You're ready to fold the entire team. I'm ready to fold the entire St. Louis Blues, Meany, and this it's just getting worse and worse and worse. I watched some of that game on Wednesday against the Capitals. They just look tapped out. There's just nothing left. So look, at some point you're going to get a little bit of life in that team. It's just fantasy wise, is there anybody there left that you think, you know, maybe is a buy low option? Are we folding on a guy like Jimmy Snuggerud, who a lot of us liked coming into this year? What's going on in St. Louis?
Yeah, it's not great. It's pretty ugly, man. They can't keep the puck out of their net. They do look checked out. I would probably hold on to Robert Thomas. I still believe in him as a player overall, although he's a pass-first guy. He's not going to give you a lot of shot volume there. I have Holloway in a couple leagues, hits leagues mostly. I still like him overall as a player, but everybody else, I think, is just a streamer. I mean, you can probably scan your waiver wire, and you'll see Buchnevich on there. You'll see Snuggerud on there. You might even see Cam Fowler on there. A lot of players are, even Binnington. Like, I'm not holding Binnington. They can't keep the puck out of their net, so I would certainly move on from a lot of their players. Guys, Panarin is the second most traded player here today, so it does seem like people are either cutting bait or buying low. A lot of questions on Braden Point, and I think we discussed this last week. He was the most traded player. Again, today he is the most traded player in Yahoo leagues. We've only been up for a couple of hours here, and he's been flipped in 50 different leagues. I would be buying him. Like, he's a guy that I think that if I owned Cutter Gauthier, I'd be like, I at least want a guy like Braden Point, Nick, who has shown me he could score 40 goals in the league, who is part of a lethal squad in Tampa Bay. Like that, I think his window is extremely, it's going to close here very, very soon. So if you want Point, and he may be the best buy low candidate in the game right now.
Yeah, I feel like it's Groundhog Day because we have this convo every year, but literally a week ago we were talking about Tampa being the worst team. The Toronto Maple Leafs are missing the playoffs. Things change really, really quickly, guys, in this NHL world, and it's always the same conversation. But yes, I am buying on Tampa. I'm buying on Braden Point. It's an Olympic year. I think sometimes it takes some of these guys a bit longer to get cooking. So if you can get Braden Point for value right now, Jake, you have to make that move.
That goal he scored the other night was sick against Colorado. Yeah, backhand, bar down. That was a beauty from Braden Point. And it's funny, people were questioning his skating coming in his draft year, and I think no one's questioning it now. So, look, I would not be moving on for Braden Point whatsoever. That attachment to the power play, everything like that. Quickly on Montreal and the goaltending, we saw Sam Montembeau give up 3 goals early in that game. I thought Marty St. Louis was going to give him the hook. You give up 3 in the first 8 minutes, that's usually a hook in this league, but credit to St. Louis, stuck with them, and Montembeau gave them a chance to win that game, maybe got some confidence going, Meany. So where do you think this goaltending situation is headed? I actually think, despite the loss, Montembeau probably found something in that game, and we know Dobisch is playing really well out there as well.
He made some big saves when it was 3-0. Could have easily been 5-6. The Flyers dominated the Canadiens in that game. They're going to go to Dobisch here on Thursday, who's essentially been perfect. I think, honestly, it's looking like a 50-50 split. I think Montembeau is the veteran. He played good last year. St. Louis will have no issues going back to him, try to get his confidence going. Maybe it turns into a 60-40. But if I was a Dobish owner, I wouldn't panic. I would hold on to him because he's going to get his starts. One more question. I'd love to get your guys' thoughts. This is more of a strategy question. I thought this was a good one from a listener. He says that he has Brazo, Brady, Kachuk. Maybe it's Matthew Kachuk, one of the two Kachuks, and then Mark Stone. I don't know if that has any IR spots. You can get in trouble holding these guys. Like the season can, I know it's early still, and we're talking about being patient with guys, but you can't fall behind too far, especially if you don't have any IR spots to hold all these guys. So Brazo is somebody for me personally that I would move on from. I don't want to drop Stone. I don't want to drop either Kachuk. Nick, how long do you hold on to these guys? Is there a point where it's like, okay, I'm in last place now, I have to cut bait? I think one piece of strategy I would throw out there is, take a look at whoever's, if you're near the bottom of your standings, take a look at whoever's at the top, and maybe you can just flip one of these guys and say, hey, listen, you're feeling pretty good. You love your spot in the standings. Will you give me something in return where I can just kind of stay the course and not be out of this thing, you know, by mid-November? How do you feel about holding some of these guys that are hurt?
Yeah, I think the simple drop there is Brazo. Like, in fact, I had him in one of my leagues. As soon as he got hurt, I dumped him. He's out at least 3 weeks now, I think, is what I was reading with the Pittsburgh Penguins. He's just not the type of guy I want in my IR. I know it's a hot start, and that's a great hook because we're going to take a break. Other side, sell high candidate / hold or fold, Pittsburgh Penguins edition. I just wanted to add, too, shame on that thief Jordan Binnington, okay? You've allowed four more goals in four different occasions. 3.34859. You're trying to steal goal number 900. Be better, Jordan Binnington. We're going to have to break. More to come here on NHL Fantasy on Ice. Don't go anywhere.
With the NHL app, you can listen to every NHL game right from your phone. And with home and away broadcast feeds, you choose your way to listen.
And he scores!
Whether you're at work, at the gym, or stuck in traffic, the NHL app puts you right in the action all season long. Every team, every game, everywhere you go. Download the NHL app and never miss a moment.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here.
Here we go.
Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to four games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jake Caughan, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen. Before the break, Jake, I talked about the Pittsburgh Penguins. A tough loss against the Maple Leafs earlier this week, but a lot of different files you can look at, having amazing starts. I want to get into Evgeny Malkin, man. 13 points in the last 8 games. He has 19 points in 14 games. Looks like he's 21 again, Jake. What do you do with him?
It does. He's found the fountain of youth. I guess that's what he was doing in the summertime, is he was looking for the fountain of youth. He found it. If he could let the rest of us know where it is, that would be great. So if anybody's got a contact number for Gino, let me know. But what is it? 8 shots on goal the other night against the Maple Leafs. And yeah, they blew the game and it didn't look great. I think Jari obviously picked up some sort of injury in that game. I don't think anybody saw it. Yeah, and now he's done, right? And he's on injured reserve. So I think that was part of the reason why it fell apart. Jari did look off to me in that third period, and now that explains it, right, with the injury. So I'm not too worried about Pittsburgh and blowing that lead. They did play well to get that lead. And I think, Nick, I'm probably selling high on Malkin, to be honest. I did draft him so late in one league. If somebody's willing to give me a decent piece for Gino, he has done this before, maybe not to this extent where he starts the season hot. I'd be willing to sell high on a guy like Evgeny Malkin.
This is not sustainable, okay? Fantasy owners listening right now, it is not sustainable. Like, Pittsburgh's off to a great start. We're going to applaud them. Muse has done a great job behind the bench. This is not sustainable. I have to sell high on everybody on this roster. That includes 87 means. This is the highest. This is the ceiling for Pittsburgh this year right now, what we're experiencing.
Yeah, and Pete mentioned some of their high danger opportunities. Like, they're a team that's shown us before in the past couple of years they could score goals. Like, that part of their game is not surprising to me, but I agree with Jake and certainly on Malkin. We've seen this before. He's a little bit older. Health has been an issue for him. All of a sudden, he loses a guy like Brazo. Ricard Raquel's not in the lineup, so they're starting to lose some of these pieces inside their top six. I would maybe hold Crosby, but I guess you got big name value there, Nick. You can get something in return.
Oh, yeah.
Throw Braden Point again. You can probably get Braden Point.
Well, I think people are going to look at Crosby and just think the world, oh, he's going to get traded this and that. But I think you have to try to extract the most value in fantasy hockey. Speaking of which, Jake, Dylan Larkin is off to an unbelievable start. So is Detroit. I mean, you want to talk about Todd McClellan, the job he's done so far this season. It's funny, the game last Thursday, we talked about revenge. I don't know if you guys caught this. I turned the game off. I thought LA won in OT, and I'm like, there goes the revenge. Detroit blew it on the road. I wake up the next day, don't find out till 3 Eastern time. Detroit, they called the goal back. Detroit came back and won in the shootout, and I look at my betting account. I'm like, oh, I won. But anyways, long story short, Dylan Larkin, 18 points, Jake, 8 goals, 14 games. Sell high candidate, are you keeping this guy? What's up?
That's old school, finding out the result. That's like when we used to have to wait for the newspaper to find out the late game results if you went to bed early the night before. So that's some old school stuff right there. I'm so in on what Dylan Larkin's doing. I'm in on Dylan Larkin has always been as a player. I want to see this guy play some playoff hockey, guys. He has not been able to play much playoff hockey throughout the course of his career, and he feels like a guy that would step up in the big games and play well. So, Meaty, I'm still trying to figure out what the Atlantic Division is right now, because I think Montreal has had a bit of a soft schedule, but has impressed a lot of people. You know, Detroit's kind of plugging along. And we haven't seen the best hockey from the teams that we thought we would, right? Toronto's maybe starting to find it a little bit, Tampa as well. And Florida, I'm still yet to see it with the Florida Panthers. I don't know about you. Is this just an injury thing? Is this just a, you know, regular season malaise because they've played so much high-intensity hockey? I'm having a difficult time figuring out the Atlantic right now.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's very, very tight. I think we're going to find out how good the Canadians are this month. They have a very tough schedule, some good teams, and some games on the road. So we'll get a good feel on the Habs. Detroit, they're a team that I haven't been able to figure out for the past couple of years. I'm definitely holding Larkin. DeBrincat's turned it around. Raymond, you know what you're going to get with those guys. I'd probably buy low on Moritz Seider in a league with hits and shots. I think he can turn things around. And as for the Panthers, I do have some concerns. Like, I'm not concerned about Tampa. The Leafs are going to score. It looks like they're going to play a lot of overs this year. They can't keep the puck out of their net at the moment. But for the Florida Panthers, they can't score. Like, Carter Verhaeghe is a guy that I would hold on to. Sam Reinhart. Lindell has been okay. You look at the whole body of work. The points are there, but there's no consistency. And a guy like Sam Bennett, I don't think you can hold on to him, Nick, right? If he's not producing, he's not scoring, and all of a sudden he's playing on the third line, I mean, you kind of have to live in the moment, move on from him. And I'm sure we'll talk about him again when he gets going, but I wouldn't be waiting around for it.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. A team that's won back-to-back Stanley Cups, and you look at our fantasy mailbag just littered with questions about the Florida Panthers, but it's been a very difficult start for that team across the board. Perhaps they're hitting a wall. Maybe they're just throwing us aloof. But I think with respect to Bennett, yeah, I'm in that area where I'm contemplating the drop. Same with Lindell. They're not providing any value for me right now, and those are two big-time losses. I should mention as well, just before we get to On the Money, Tristan Jarry has mentioned banged up. Artur Seelovs is a guy you should pick up in the interim. And a bunch of returns. Quinn Hughes is back for Vancouver. Willie Nylander, best points per game right now in the NHL. He's been on fire. Noah Hanifin back with Vegas. And Pyotr Kochetkov notches a 25-save shutout in his return season debut on Broadway against the Rangers. So look out for that. But listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner. With Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. But in every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves, bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365, an official betting partner of the NHL. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Boys, I'll start things off Thursday night. We just talked about the Panthers. I can't naysay that team. They're on the road against Los Angeles, dire straits, embarrassed with the Ducks. Another revenge look for Q. He's just having a time with his former team. But, Jake, I got to play the Panthers' money line on the road against the LA Kings tonight. Maybe even a sledgehammer, I'll be honest.
Ooh, okay. You're getting a good price on it as well. So I don't mind it. I don't mind this play. Just a team, they kind of look checked out in that third period against Anaheim. And I think that was just a game. Okay, we're on a road trip. Anaheim's clearly the better team right here. We're going to pack it in and we're going to save it for the next game. Well, this is the next game. So maybe a bounce back opportunity here for Florida. I don't hate that, going with the pedigree of the champs. The Philadelphia Flyers, Meany on the road plus money against the Preds. Preds are just a team, if I see them as a favorite, I'm willing to fade. I just don't believe in this roster at all. And the Flyers have some juice offensively. Outside of Michkov, who's struggling, Trevor Zegras is leading the way. Now, his point prop has gotten a little bit too high for my liking. You know, we were betting it around even money, you know, minus 110. Now it's up to about minus 170. I don't mind him for three shots at plus 160 if you want to still get into the Zegras market. So I'm going to be looking to back the Flyers on Thursday night. I like what I'm seeing from that team.
Yeah, good call. And Tocchet has been playing a good brand of hockey. It's like, it may not be an exciting style to watch. They kind of clog up the neutral zone a little bit, but they're not giving up too many quality chances. I like the Canadiens today at plus 140. I know the Devils. I tend to fade teams in their first home game after a lengthy road trip. They went out west. They lost 3 of 4. They coughed up 18 goals over that span, gave up 8 in one game. I'm looking at Cole Coughlin, Suzuki again. These guys plus 100 for a point. Suzuki's had a point in 32 of his past 39 games, 56 over that span. So I like that one. And I'm on the Sens, minus 130 against the Bruins. I think they're a better team than Boston. A little bit of inconsistency on both of their games, or both of the, you know, all season long, I suppose, more so with Boston. But Nick, give me the Sens on the road at minus 130.
I like it. And Linus Salmark revenge, we always love that. But for the sake of consistency, I might play the three-way Montreal and New Jersey. If there's one thing we've learned about the Habs, they go to overtime this season. And it just keeps happening. I keep not betting on it. So I got to play that. And Washington-Pittsburgh, I think this is a prime moment, a response here from Sidney Crosby, at least from a DFS standpoint. I'm playing Crosby point prop, maybe an anytime goal. He's playing Ovechkin, coming off an embarrassing loss. This just screams Sidney Crosby tonight, Jake.
I was just about to say, Crosby, Ovi, it never gets old for me. I don't know about you guys. I feel like every time we get one, I'm thinking, is this going to be the last one? And it never is, because these guys just never stop playing. And I know Ovi's kind of had a slow start to the season, although he did score in Wednesday night, so gets 900 out of the way. Maybe he can kind of get going a little bit. I like Pittsburgh on the money line here. I think with the Capitals playing second half of a back-to-back, I assume it's going to be Charlie Lindgren for them tonight. I'm going to take Pittsburgh there on the money line. I'm looking to that Anaheim-Dallas game as well to maybe have a little juice in it. Jason Robertson, meaning, has been firing the puck. You're going to have to probably play him up to four shots, but I think it's almost worth it at this point because he's been firing. Maybe you want to go Mikko Rantanen for a few shots in that game as well. And even on the Anaheim side, there's probably a little bit of value in the prop market with what is deemed a difficult matchup in Dallas.
I'm glad you brought him up. I mean, it's been a duck show. I mean, how could we not get to them? I think plus 150 is worth it. Just the way that this team is scoring and playing with a lot of confidence at the moment. You can go Carlson and Terry for a point at plus 130. You could take Cutter Gauthier for a point in three shots. That'll get you up to plus 120. But you mentioned some of these Stars guys. I chuck in Wyatt Johnson in there as well. And by the way, Logan Thompson, like any time that Charlie Lindgren's between the pipes, I think that's a time that maybe you can capitalize on maybe picking on the Capitals. But Logan Thompson, a 938 save percentage and a 1.45 goals against average. This guy is spectacular. He's yet to allow over two goals in a game. My goodness, he's amazing.
Oh, Canada. That's all I could say on Logan Thompson. He has to be on the Canadian Olympic team. PD props 100%. Over to you, my man.
I'll give a shout to, I know we're steering clear from Nashville these days, but Evangelista has been very productive for them, both in terms of assists and on the power play, so you can get some crazy value on him. He's on the top line with Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly. Also, when you look at Buffalo St. Louis, I could see that game going to overtime. Five straight Sabres games have gone to overtime, so maybe hit that three-way money line, even if you can't get a pulse on whatever Buffalo's doing once it gets to that point.
One more quick one for me here to go along with the PD prop angle here. We'll call it a Jakey prop here, Nick. Noah Hanifin back in for Vegas. You're getting some good value on his shots on goal. They play Tampa at home on Thursday night, about minus 135 for two shots, but I don't mind going up to big plus money for the three shots. Again, not going to be on that first power play, but a guy that tends to get that shot through has never been shy to shoot it. I like some value I think we're getting just because he's just getting back into the lineup on Hanifin.
That sneaky revenge, too, if you guys recall, Tampa was sniffing around on Hanifin, right? So maybe
there we go.
Hey, you should have taken me on your roster, but I
went to
Vegas.
It's a guy you can add, too. We're talking about defensemen. Exactly. He may be available.
One other thing to add, Macklin Celebrini, as we record here, is tied with Connor McDavid for the NHL lead in points. Wow. This guy is incredible to watch. You saw how the Sharks really put the stamp down on the Kraken last night. You can get in on John Klingberg. He had a multi-point game, whether it's fantasy or the betting market. He's on power play one. I loved it, like clockwork. Celebrini, to Will Smith to Klingberg, bang, and there's some value right there.
You should do play-by-play. You know, the ups and downs of an NHL season, you guys recall the first week I was losing my mind. I have that point prop, 70 points for San Jose. We're feeling better about life today. And with that,
we're back.
We bid we're you back, farewell. Baby. We are so back. Coming up Monday, week 6, Waiver Wire edition. Thank you to producer Bob Bender, for Jay Kahn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meaney. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. We'll talk next week.